Hello and welcome to Food Neighbourhoods on Monocle 24. I am Markus Hippi. All cities are various, the locals love for their food and drink offerings, and in this series we get to know these places. Today we head to Venice. It might be easy to think that there is no more discoveries to be made in a city so populated by tourists. However, the neighbourhood of Castello still has corners where you are not faced with flocks of visitors, places where locals still do their food shopping and dining. My guide for the area is Valeria Necchio, a Venetian food writer.
So we are in the neighborhood of Castello. Neighborhoods in Venetian are called sestrieri, and that's a name that is really unique to the city of Venice. So this neighborhood occupies the easternmost corner of the city, and traditionally it's the popular, in a sense, of the very residential neighborhood of Venice. So, and it still preserves that sort of soul. It has this very local vibe to it. Some streets still feel very villagey. You can still glimpse, you know, locals walking around doing their shopping or just going about their day. And it's just really nice about that. You have this sort of silk sort kind of true feeling about the city in it.
So what is the plan for today? You can show us a few places.
Yes, so we'll go to a coffee roaster called the Girani, possibly one of the oldest in the city. They only sell beans. You cannot have an espresso in there. You can only buy the beans to take away. And then we'll go to Mascaretta, which is a historical wine bar, just really colorful and characteristic of Venice. The host, Mauro, is just a really interesting person to talk to. And then we'll go to Local, which is a restaurant that somehow belongs to this new wave of Venetian restaurateurs and this sort of like modern style of restaurants in Venice.
Sounds very good. So it's time for coffee beans first. Well, that didn't take long. Bottega Girani Cafe.
Yes, one of the best coffee roasters in Venice. Family run still, just really, really interesting blends of Arabica in it. Locals still shop for their beans here and they wouldn't have it any other way. This is a really cool spot.
What a beautiful old shop. Yeah. How much can you tell me about this place?
So the building dates back to the 17th century, but the place was established in 1928. And since then, they have been roasting their own coffee beans, Arabica and Robusta, and then enacting their special blends so that they can keep their product consistent. So yeah, pretty much trading throughout since 1928.
And you can smell the coffee over here. And I think it's quite nice that you can't actually buy coffee, so people come here for real business to buy beans.
Yes, it's making coffee at home is still very much an Italian tradition. People have mocha pots, you know, and they make their own morning coffee. So having a place that sells really high quality beans and ground coffee, it's a very precious treat and very useful for locals.
How much can you tell me about the beans you can buy from here? For example, what does the menu Listino Prezzi say over there in the back?
So Listino Prezzi, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you have 8 blends of beans. Super dolce, for example, means extra sweet. Mm-hmm. And so it's supposed to play like the mildest variety. Super aromatico, extra aromatic. Amabile is like gentle, and then special and extra. They're all really unique to this place. You wouldn't find these types of blends anywhere else in town.
Shall we continue our journey?
Okay, yes, absolutely, let's go.
So by the way, Valeria, what I find fascinating about Castello is that actually it's so peaceful over here. It's not like in many other places of Venice at all. You don't have those tourist flows over here.
No, absolutely. As I said, there's still a really strong resident presence. People that actually look like they live here, children playing in the square, etc. And there are very many quiet corners that you can enjoy far from the medic crowd, for sure.
Is it something Venetians do, actually, the people who live here, that they know to pick the right routes to avoid
the tourist flows.
Absolutely. They have this mental map of all the back roads and shortcuts so as to avoid the crowds, for sure. So like they might take the longest route to go from point A to point B, but at least they don't have to mingle with the foreigners.
And then we just need to cross one canal and we see already our next destination, which is a restaurant.
Yes, this restaurant is called Local. It opened only a couple of years ago and it was founded by two siblings, Luca and Benedetta Fulling. And in the kitchen is Chef Matteo Tagliapietra from the local island of Burano.
And, well, I guess the name Local gives a good idea of what to expect over here, so there is a strong focus on local ingredients.
Yes, absolutely. So Tagliapietra trained in the kitchen of Noma and Nobu, and from there he got a good idea of what it means, you know, to source from local from local farmers and to really bring the landscape and the territory into a plate and into a dish. So yeah, there's a really strong connection between the kitchen of Local and local farmers farming in the islands around the lagoon.
I think it's interesting, by the way, what you mentioned of the inspiration and influence coming from actually a number of countries in this case. If you look at the young generation of Venetian chefs and restaurateurs, how much do they travel? Do they actually go a lot abroad to get ideas and inspiration?
I would definitely say so. Most of them will have an international experience in a way or another. Possibly, I mean, in front of the house or wine trading or in the kitchen. And some of them come back and they bring this sort of breath of fresh air into the Venetian food scene.
And what I enjoy about this place in particular is that it's indeed by the canal, so you can see the water whilst you dine. After dining, time for wine. Let's finish with wine today. Where are we going?
We're going to Enoteca Mascareta. It's a wine bar that is also a restaurant, but most people, and especially regulars, still treat it as a wine bar. So they go either early at 7 p.m. when it opens, or late at night after dinner service to have a glass of wine, like a few bites, or just wine and a chat with the host, Mauro, who is really chatty and really colorful.
And this then is a place for wines.
Yes, Enoteca Mascareta, originally exclusively a wine bar, now also a restaurant, but most people still treat it as a wine bar, as I said. So like you come here before dinner service or after, and you just treat it to a really nice glass of wine. Mauro is really adamant about sourcing some really excellent labels. Mauro is the owner of the place. The wine offer is mostly focused on Veneto wine, so wine from the region or from the neighboring regions in general. And he usually chooses stuff from small growers that use, you know, indigenous varieties or something just really interesting that you wouldn't find elsewhere.
Exactly, we are outside and there's a very impressive window over here. You see quite a few wine bottles. And actually, I think there is a reoccurring theme to these bottles.
Yes, so a few of these on the window look like they've been custom made. So they showcase a portrait of the owner, Mauro, in a way or another. They're all different, but yes, they're all a portrait.
So Mauro is someone who unfortunately isn't here present at the moment. He's busy with something else. But it's interesting that he seems to have a lot of influence. His son, for example, has been launching a new restaurant.
Yes, so his son, Andrea, is at the head of this new restaurant called Covino. Not very far from here, actually. They have this really interesting concept where they do set menu dinners, so three courses for a fixed price, and the menu changes seasonally. And you can definitely see the influence of his dad in the choice of the wines, as well as like in the care that they put in the ingredients and the dishes.
So thank you very much for this tour. We're going to head for a glass of wine over here now. Before we do that, how do you see the future of Venice when it comes to the food and drink landscape over here? What do you expect?
I expect more interesting places opening up in the future, less touristy stuff for sure. I think there's a strong demand for better food and better places in Venice, and there's a lot of room for improvement and a lot of opportunity to meet these types of requests in a way, and like this hunger for new, better food.
That was food writer Valeria Necchio, who's just about to release her book Veneto, Recipes from an Italian Country Kitchen. And for more tips for Venice, get your copy of Monocle's Travel Guide to Venice. It is out now. This has been episode number 37 of Food Neighborhoods. For more food and drink stories, tune into the menu every Friday at 1900 London time. I am Markus Hippi. Thank you for listening, and bye for now.